You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Speaking of the truth, joining me is a man who weaves in and out of it freely. The man, the myth, the legend himself, Mr. Texas, Michael Musselman. Gunner, what's up? How you doing? Hello, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
You're really subdued. Something happened to your microphone.
I didn't touch it.
You didn't touch it?
Well, I put it on.
Okay, no, you're good. Okay. You're good. How was your weekend?
It was good.
What'd you do?
See, there you go. You asked me again. I don't know. I just thought it was good.
Well, I mean, it is a show based on conversation, so I mean, ask me what I did yesterday.
Well, because you're showing off now, because you got a memory.
You need a scribe, man, to follow you around.
I don't want to know what happened. Yesterday is history. Why? I live in the now.
I live in the now. I want to be here. I want to be present.
Yeah, okay. I don't want to be past.
Okay. So you didn't do anything of note over the course of the weekend that we should discuss. You didn't cross paths with anybody that made you angry. You didn't do anything significant. You didn't change somebody's life. Nothing.
No, I kind of just, it was raining a lot this weekend, so.
You did something.
I know that. I just can't remember. All
right. I went to a volleyball tournament in Bellflower.
I don't even know where that's at.
It's east of Long Beach. Yeah. So, but you know what? It's everyday people who happen to reside in the inner part of Los Angeles. It was a great time. It was a great time.
So are you saying, when you say the people that reside in inner city Los Angeles, so you're kind of like,
No, it's like the normal people, the working people, the people.
There is no
live,
such thing as normal.
Yeah,
so let's start.
Yeah, there is.
With that today.
The people that live on the coast. Those are the wackadillies. Okay, they're finding themselves coastal.
Yeah, but
all that.
Okay. So let's talk about something. You know, you said something just now, and you defended it. You said yes, there is. You cannot believe what we believe and believe in the word normal.
You cannot.
Normal does not exist. That is the problem with the world. That's the problem why people take their lives. That's why the problem why people take drugs. Because society has said this is normal. So they think I'm outside of normal. I'm not normal. I'll never be normal. I'm not accepted. And then they do something drastic.
Okay, so what if you were gonna shit can the word normal, what word would you use?
I wouldn't use any word to describe. Why would you have to describe somebody? Am I just asking? Like why? Why would we have to describe?
I guess then we would talk about people then if we couldn't describe them.
You know, describe them on their character.
Well, I don't know their character. I just know they appear
then
to
you
be
give them a break.
Normal, hardworking Americans.
Don't use the word normal.
They seem to be hardworking Americans.
Yeah, but when you think of the word, like you said, normal, what does that mean? So, but we all agree, you agree, because you're an educated guy, is the fact that everybody has a different litmus, a different, you know, test for what normal is to them. What you perceive as normal is not normal for me. We say the normal baseline for people, for human beings. What is that? That's the whole spectrum. You know, do you think it's normal for women to have tattoos on their bodies? Sure. I know people that don't. Do men have piercings in their ears? Is that normal? For some, it's not. For some, it is. So we use the word normal to gauge. And that's the problem. We're always – why do we have to
– I'm thinking you might be overthinking that.
No.
Are you?
No, especially when you're talking about suicide.
Are you?
Suicide.
Who's
the problem with suicide is one. is the word normal.
We're not talking about suicide. I'm talking about a goddamn volleyball game, for God's sake.
But the word normal, it doesn't matter. If you believe in the word normal, that you think that the word normal exists, then that you just can't have that conversation.
Well, I guess if we're talking about suicide, I would agree with you. If we're talking about, like, going to a volleyball game, I wouldn't agree with you. I think there is normal. There's people that fall under the long axis of the bell curve.
Who?
I do. I'm normal.
You and me are far from normal.
Oh, no. You're normal, and you know it.
No. Well, I'm normal in my own eyes.
Yeah.
My wife thinks I'm crazy as, you know, as a shithouse rat. But.
So, I think it depends on what you're talking about.
It doesn't depend on anything. The word normal does not exist in our language anymore.
Sorry, we're not on the island. We're not on Musselman Island yet.
You only wish, and so does everybody else, Musselman Island existed.
So we could go there and everybody would be happy under the rule of the benevolent dictator.
No, it would be a shared responsibility. Everybody would have a say.
Who would have the ultimate say?
Me.
Thank you. There you go. There you go.
But your input matters.
A little bit, yes?
No, it matters a lot to me.
Okay.
But, you know, it's that whole thing of I care, but I can only care as much as you, you know, like you. If you're not willing to carry the water, I can't help you.
Yeah. So that's where the benevolent dictator comes in. Like, I will do things for your good, even though you may not realize it.
And as long as you're willing to put forth the effort as well.
Right.
Because it doesn't come free, man.
Yeah. If you ain't trying, I ain't helping.
If you ain't trying, you're going to be fish food.
Yeah. Because we do live on an island now. We got fish all around us.
And yeah, you got to provide, man.
They've got to eat, too. We're part of that ecosystem as well. So, because I'm the benevolent leader, I'm responsible for them, too. I did yard work. I did yard work a lot.
Yeah. I did yard work today.
Yeah. Today already? Whoa.
Yeah, this morning.
But I thought it was raining. What's going on?
No, it's about to rain. That's why I knocked it out. It was raining all weekend. Oh. So I.
What'd you do?
I did the whole gamut, man. I did the edging, I did the trimming, I did the.
What kind of edger do you have?
Mowing. I have a gas Husqvarna.
Okay, let me ask you about the spool, because I was talking about this earlier.
Oh, I don't use a spool.
Who invented the spool? Is that thing the biggest piece of shit or what? It never works.
No, it works. It works. It's fine.
Mine does.
I've never had a problem. The people who have problem here's. You know why you have problems with the spool?
Why?
You didn't read the damn directions.
You know what? I did.
Yeah, no, that's the truth.
I did when I tried to thread it the second time. So it comes threaded. You're bouncing it. It lets it out. Then you got to try to, right? And again, if you don't buy an expensive one, if you buy like the lower end one, and it doesn't, the spool, it doesn't work. You don't have the spool. What do you have? You have the ones that just slide through?
Yeah, I have the ones that either. So it's a multi thing. So I could put blades on there. They look like freaking saw blades. They snap in. Or I can, on the top, it's just a pre-cut and you put it through, you weave it through and you pull it down. So it looks like a fork, you know, like a two-pronged fork.
That's the best right there.
Yeah, it just goes real quick. Yep. But the blades are great because, I mean, they just chew through everything.
Yeah. I bought the spool, man. And so what I do is I don't use the spool because I literally was getting ready to smash my edger / weed whacker. And so what I do is I just remove the whole spool so that cylinder is empty. So I take the twine that you use. I cut it in I thread it through. I cut the back end, I tie a knot, and I pull it tight, and then I measure it out to where the edge is, the distance it's supposed to be, and then I cut it. And then I put the cap on, and then I go about my business. Yeah, that's how I do it. And then when I use it up, I stop. I walk over to the tailgate of my truck because my scissors and that twine stuff is on a spool there. I rethread it, and I go back about my business. That's how I do it.
Oh, yeah. It makes a huge, huge difference, man.
No, that's if you're in the market, do not buy this.
There's life. Life is hard, right?
Right.
Somewhat.
Right.
Why make it harder? Why? And life's not hard. Let's talk about that. This is my whole. I don't know
life,
why I got
life
this
isn't hard.
Weekend,
I, you know what? I disagree.
Life
with
is
you
not
that.
Hard.
I think it can get difficult.
It's only because you do it to yourself.
I don't. Hello.
You make. People make bad decisions.
I didn't make any bad decisions.
Alcohol, you introduce alcohol in your life. Who did that for you?
What?
Oh, my buddies did. They made me drink. How? Oh, because they said, come here, Mike. Got to have a drink because you got to be a guy. And I said, shit, I got to be a guy. So I had a drink. Then I couldn't stop. No, people give me that excuse all the time. No, life is not hard.
Just
life is easy.
Life can be hard. Life can be hard.
Because you're making bad decisions.
No. Sometimes in your life, shit happens. I'll say this. Extended family members, you don't have a whole lot to do with it, but you need to help clean up the mess. And then what happens is they fight you about cleaning up the mess. And so I think it can get hard sometimes.
Yeah.
Just my opinion. Relative to what you're talking about in terms of self-inflicted gunshot wounds, you know, to wherever you inflict them in your life through drinking and other stupid decisions, the stuff that you have to control, you know, I don't know if I'm going to quote you or quote myself or quote somebody. If you consistently choose the right things, and I think it takes you a while because I think it takes you a while to grow up a little bit about drugs and alcohol and stuff like that. But if you can say no to that stuff and you consistently do the right thing, I think life unfolds well for most people that do that. And so I would agree with you.
Yeah.
I would agree with you. But there,
because, you know, you think about it. I was happy. You know, I mean, I'm not happy. I was lucky. Because, you know, there were times prior to my car accident where a drunk driver hit us and ultimately, you know, took the life of a good friend of mine. I was doing the stupid stuff that normal people do. I drank, and then I realized, you know, I'm fine. I can drive. And so we make these decisions, and then what happens? Boom. You police sirens, you're in a neck brace, and you're like, shit, what just happened? And that's what I hear a lot. You know, it's like, I didn't know I was that bad. All of a sudden, there. Emergency services were all over me, and then next thing I know, I was being prosecuted for felony DUI, you know, taking the life of another person. And then it's like this, you know, the grief comes in, you know, and I feel bad, really. And I honestly believe, in some cases, most of the people that I knew, because they were good people, they'd say, if I could do it all over again, I'd make it different. And I believe them because, again, hindsight's the best lens to look through, right?
Right.
It's the clearest lens that we have.
Right.
Man, is it clear. And we use it and we say, gosh, if it had only been different. But we don't use that knowledge to think about, you know, in the future. Because we also have that other guy, the devil and the angel on our shoulder. And the devil says, yeah, but statistics say that you got to get a chance. It's not going to be you today. Go ahead. So you play the game, but you know, you're actually taking a ticket. You're taking a lottery ticket. The chances of you never being called slim to none. And honestly, it is. It's slim to none, right? It is.
It's a bad game, though.
It is a very bad game because the only payout is hurt and sorrow.
Nope.
But we play that game anyway. Why?
Well said.
Because we're stupid. Because only a stupid person would play a game that says, hey, Mac, hey, come here, let's play a game. And every time you get it wrong, the answer, I get to smash your hand with a hammer. What do I get if it's right? Nothing. You don't get your hand smashed with a hammer. And then you say, shit, man, sign me up, Mike. This sounds like a great game. I mean, who in their right mind would play that game? No one. Not a soul I know. But yet, if you say, hey, let's have a drink. The thing that comes in your mind is, wait a second, I drove here. Oh, one's not going to kill me. No, you know, one is not going to kill you, it's going to kill somebody else. That's what someone needs to say to you. When someone says to you, or you hear it, one's not going to kill me. No, you're right. You're right, Tom. One's not going to kill you, but it's going to kill somebody else. You're going to live. Because statistically speaking, is when drunk people hurt other people, they usually live. Why? Because their body's loose and, you know, they don't tense up. They don't have the injuries sustained to them. And I think it's a cruel trick that we play on these people because then they get to live with the game and the shame and the guilt. But why do we play the game? Why do we enter?
Because it's fun.
No, it's not.
Huh?
It's not fun.
What is it?
Do you remember waking up with headaches, being hungover? Yeah. Was that fun? Puking all over your floor? Is that fun? Puking on your clothes?
I was never a big drinker.
But see, I was.
Yeah, so I never.
When I was young, I did exactly what I thought society wanted of me.
I drank my first beer when I was like 19 and a half.
Oh, no, I didn't drink my first alcoholic drink until I was 21. But when I did, then, again, it was like, you're out, you're having fun, you're like, what's this? Is that going to hurt me? And you're like, but see, and it, over the ages, one thing that I can kind of pat myself on the back for and be proud of is I was a very good learner of other people's mistakes.
That's a great, you know what I was as a kid, because I think Mike and I are similar in a way, in that I didn't believe my parents were stupid, right? When they gave me advice, I thought my mom and dad were pretty good to go when I was a kid. I thought they were, you know, they always gave me good advice, and the stuff they told me always turned out to be true. I didn't always listen to it, but as a young guy, I tended to follow the advice that they gave me, and I was that way before I got near alcohol and whatnot. And so, and when I went away to college, I had a good time, and I got drunk, and I didn't throw up so much. When I would feel like I drank too much, I'd stick my finger to my throat. I'd preemptively puke it all out because I didn't want to have it go through my system. And
that was fun, huh?
No, well,
yeah. Yeah, oh, no, you said.
But again, I didn't do it that much, and I went through it like most, like you, I went through that phase relatively quickly in my life, and I was done with it for the rest of my life, you know, and so for a lot of reasons, I had people in my family that abused drugs and alcohol, and all they did was they hurt people. I mean, they hurt people,
yeah.
I'm not doing that because it was a sensitive issue for me as a kid. I'm not going to do that to the people I care about. And so, whatever drinking I did at college. I never drank when I went home, and I tried to be a good kid because I saw the pain it inflicted. So in my family, it wasn't. And you know, and again, I have a sister that's dead because of alcohol, and.
I have a lot of friends that are dead from alcohol.
Yeah. My sister at the age of 53 died.
Sad. It's horrible.
Yeah. It's awful.
But see, my point is, and I don't mean to be callous, but where's the fun in that?
Well, I think initially off on your own, drinking, you're having a great time, Mike, you're with your friends, you're in a bar, there's women, you're dancing, right? It's kind of the way your Friday, Saturday, whatever night of the week you guys go out, it's kind of how that works. But I mean, how long do you have to do that before you say, hey, you know what, I'd rather go out to dinner with her and go to a movie with her and hang out with her than be doing
sober.
This shit. Right, sober. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think, but it doesn't take that long.
For some, it takes a long time.
Well, some, they never leave it, right?
Right. And then they go back to it when life gets hard. Oh, woe is me. Life is so hard.
Yeah.
And it's like, really, how so? How is it so hard? Is it hard like you don't know where your next meal's coming from? Or what bridge you're sleeping under tonight? Oh, no, man, not like that. Oh. Or you're diagnosed with terminal cancer and, you know, now you're trying to be the rock for your family, not just for yourself, and keep your mental wits about you. Oh, no, not hard like that. Why is it hard then? Oh, because my registration came due with my insurance and it's going to be a bind on me, you know? Oh, okay. But you'll get through it. Yeah. Okay. So life's not hard.
Did you know, did this come like out of the blue or this kind of, well, no, I forgot.
No, and they blew it off, right?
I forgot about it. I didn't really plan for it, but no, it's an annual expense.
Yeah. Oh, come here, you poor babies. Come here, put your head on my shoulder. And get the tears out.
And we're not talking about 17-year-olds either.
No, we're talking adults, big time, with kids, families, you know, raising young ones. It's crazy.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And we say this to our children because it was said to me. Life's hard, son. And I'm like, and I used to buy it. Like, oh man, life is hard. Because we needed an alibi, you know, we needed a scapegoat. We needed something. So when shit went wrong, normally because of improper planning, we could always just say, oh, life's hard. No. Life's easy. Life's easy. Getting through it now can be hard, but life is easy. Your decision-making process can be hard, but the decisions you're making life are easy.
Now, I used to argue with my mom about something like this, and I'm going to play semantics with you the way you played semantics with me.
Okay.
My mom would say, Michael, she would see something, and she'd say, it's common sense.
Oh, yeah, my another favorite word. I love that word.
And I said, it's common sense for you. So you're saying life is easy. Life's easy for you, but what happens if your view of the world isn't cut the way your prism's cut and it's not tinted the way your organic prism is? You grew up different. You view the world different, and you didn't have the benefit of you.
It goes back to bias and prejudice stuff. So we grow up, we have a self-imposed self, it was given to us. Kids are not born with prejudice.
Right.
They're taught, right? Do you agree with me on that?
Right. Oh, without,
we're not taught
without doubt.
Dislike, right?
Right.
I mean, we're not born with it. We're taught it. We're taught it from our family, our peers, our friends, our social upbringing, whatever. Media, it's taught to us. So the same thing, what your mom said, common sense, you know, growing up, it's taught to us. The people, you look at people that have become successful. They're not any, like Elon Musk. I mean, he's a very bright guy.
Right.
I would say he's not much brighter than I. He's just been his touches on the ball are different than mine. He's had different exposures, different experiences to get to his point. But it's that same. If you're in the same position through life, it could have been you. It goes through everything in life that we look at. No one is better than the other. You know, when we talk about medals, you know, we talk about them in the military, Medal of Honor recipient. You know, even he says it. You know, like Jeremiah says it, get the name of cross. He only got it because of his position that he was in. It could have been anybody. Anybody. You know, it's what we do in those circumstances that define us.
I know, but Mike, everybody wouldn't do the same thing, and that was my point to my mom. It's common sense for you because of the way you're made and the way you look at the world. But I can tell you this, it wasn't common sense for them. They thought they were doing the right thing. They didn't set out to do, like, the wrong thing.
Yeah. But common sense goes along with that whole thing. Remember the old saying we got in the Marine Corps, right? Common sense is not a common virtue. But because common sense is also kind of categorized as in the word normal for me, it doesn't really exist. Because what we think common sense is, you know, ask people, what is common sense? Like, define what common sense is. And people say, well, it's having a sense that's common. Okay, great. Now, what does that mean? It means what? What does having common sense mean? I'm just asking, like throwing it out there. Like what sense is common to all? Drinking and driving?
No.
Working hard?
Obviously.
Getting in early?
Obviously.
Leaving
not.
Late?
Obviously not. Obviously not. Obviously not.
I mean, but to me and you, we didn't start out that way in our military career, right? Second Lieutenant McNamara and Private Musselman did not have a lot of those. We learned that it's a learned behavior. So we go through, we look and we watch what makes people successful. What do we like? What traits do we like in people? And then we mimic those. We take those on and we become that person. Now, that's me and you.
Right.
We pick out people that we didn't like that guy's a shithead.
Right.
And then we're like, what makes him a shithead? Oh, okay, don't do that. Mental no. That guy's awesome. What makes him awesome? He does this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to make it my own. So we cut and slice from success and unsuccess, and we become that person. You know, it's kind of like, I tell people the best leaders are leaders that we refer to as a minor bird. They can mimic anybody.
You know what? You know, Mike, it's interesting. I call that kindergarten smart, right? When you go you go to kindergarten, who's the smartest guy in the class? The guy who flunked. He knows where the graham crackers are. He knows where the balls are for recess. He knows where the water fountain is. He knows where the bathroom is. Guy's a genius for a week. How smart do you have to be to copy the person that knows what they're doing? You don't. You have to be kindergarten smart. And then you continue to repeat it through most of your life, right? And then you cross paths with people that, hey, that guy knows so much. You know, it's been longer than a week, and he's still showing me new stuff. This is awesome. So I'm walking
this guy's the smartest guy.
Yeah, he's the smartest guy. But that's how smart you have to be. And if you can't figure that one out, like, I can fix it, right? I can fix a lot of things. I can't fix stupid. But again, it's that kind of show up, look around, all right, who's got a clue? But some people just don't see it like that. They're off doing, hey, does anybody, you know, 3 months into it, where does the milk carton go? Like, dude, are you stupid? We do this 5 days a week here in kindergarten. He's like a dumb kindergartner, man. What's up with that?
So, yeah, but that's how simple life can be.
Exactly. That's how easy. And so if you can't do that's low ripe hanging fruit.
Right.
That's how we do it.
Don't try and be the smartest kid in kindergarten class.
No, just copy the kid who flunked. Copy the dumbest kid from the last class in for a couple weeks. But that was my point to my mom. So mom, it's common sense to you, but I mean, you're smarter than most people. And my mom was.
But it's not common sense. It's experience. We use that word wrong.
Well, she would say it. She would get so frustrated. She would get pissed at stupid people doing stupid things. And she's like, I just don't understand this. Like, common sense. I'm like, well.
If it was common sense.
Evidently not.
Then it would be common to all. If common sense really existed, it would be common to all. But it's not.
Kathleen, man, she did not go for that at all.
So, yeah, did not work out well for her.
Yeah. The email, good morning, Mac. Rod Rosenstein is headed to the White House apparently to resign. The Deputy Attorney General. Yeah, I've seen those reports about Rosenstein. You know, Mike and I talked about this relative to, you know, Secretary Mattis and General Kelly. The stuff that comes out that is attributed to them. You know, and again, there are no dummies to the positions they're in, and they're standing in a room full of people, some they don't know. They don't say shit. Hey, how's it going? Did you see the Red Sox won last night? Hey, love those Patriots. That's it, right, man. So to me, Rod Rosenstein making some comment about wearing a wire in the 25th Amendment in front of people he doesn't know, I just have a, like, I'm not sure what the discussion was, but to me, that's somebody out to get Rod Rosenstein. And I just, the same problem I have with the stuff that, like General Mattis, like, telling Sean Spicer, I've killed people for a living. Do you want to go to Afghanistan? He would never joke about either one of those two things with Sean Spicer. Ever.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But, yeah, he's evidently on his way to the White House. So that going on today. The, what else was going on? Hey, I've got a question for you. I just replayed an interview I did in the first month of the program with Sebastian Younger, who's made the documentary Restrepo and Korngold, right?
Yeah, about him last week.
Right? He written a book called Tribes.
Yeah.
His contention is more people suffer when they get out of the military from dislocation than they do from PTSD. That when you look at this phenomenon we call PTSD, he says, you know, the dislocation piece of that, right? You were part of something, right? And if you ask guys what they miss, it's like, oh, you know, we'd be laying around on our packs waiting for trucks and everybody talking shit, eating and laughing and joking. That's what I miss the most. That's mm-hmm. what I miss the most. Oh, I'm curious your thoughts on that. The dislocation piece, more significant to mental health and missing that? Because we have the Ask Clown chat room, and some days it's dormant, some days it's active, and then some days it's like, oh, this is going to be funny. But you still have that connection. It's right there. I can see it right now. Your thoughts on that? Dislocation,
yeah.
Probably more
but,
impact,
yeah,
impactful.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that, you know, I heard a long time ago from guys that got out, you know, you talk to them and say, hey, how's it going? Oh, it's going great. You miss it? No, man. But what I miss is the Marines. Don't miss the institution. I just miss the camaraderie. And I heard that shit probably when I was a Lance Corporal, you know, 1986, and running around, and it didn't really mean anything to me, and until I got to be maybe a staff sergeant gunny, and then I started seeing guys that I knew get out, you know, guys that work for me, and they get out as corporal, you know, after 8 years, 10 years, whatever, go out, do things, and then I'd run into them again, like 2 years later. I'm like, what the hell? What happened? And they're like, oh, yeah, gunny, I got out. Went back home, went to school. It lasted about a year and a half. And I was like, screw this, man. And I said, wait a second. Big shit talker are you talking about how, you know, you hated being in how the core, you know, eat the apple, fuck the core, you know, that kind of thing. You were that big guy. Now all of a sudden you're begging to get back in. You know, head goes down. Yes, gunny. And I'm like, you shit talking some, you know, you're like, what the hell? But you start seeing more of that. And then when I got more senior, I saw it a lot. I mean, I saw it a lot. And I saw guys implode because of it. You know, start drinking more, breaking up with their girlfriend or wife, leaving them, doing things, hanging out with the wrong crowd because they thought that was the tribe they needed to belong in. Hey, these motorcycle club, these guys are great guys because they were all former military guys. Yeah, but they were all guys that got kicked out of the Marine Corps. You're the only guy in the motorcycle club that's got an honorable discharge. They're all bad conduct or other than honorable. This is not the tribe that you want to be with. You know, the biggest shit talkers about how much, what I've really found out now as a civilian, the guys that brag the most about, they got the hat, they got the t-shirt, they got the license plate cover, they got the stickers all over the car, they got every swag there is, were the guys that hated being in the military the most. They get out, and they're the guys, they got the flagpole in the front yard, they got, I mean, they're the biggest posers now of it, and they were mediocre at best, and they couldn't wait to get out. And when they got out, they realized that was as best as it was going to be. So they go back to it. They gravitate as close as they can back to the center. But yeah, I think it's alive and well. I think it's absolutely contributes in a lot of ways. But then, yeah, it goes back to, you know, what are we seeking in our life?
But you know, Mike, it's
9 hours to fly to, you know, but I missed the interaction with the guys, you know, walking over, sitting down with them and they're like, they just shut up. And you're like, okay, what the hell are you guys talking about? Oh, nothing, sir. They're like, no, come on. And then because they knew who I was, you know, I'm part of that group with them and they're like, sir, we were just talking about that new captain over there. He's kind of a dork, you know, like, yeah, but he's a good, you know, and so you do the other side of it, you know, you don't play into it. But I miss that kind of, like, where are you from? I'm from Gainesville, Florida? No, Gainesville, Maine. You know, like, where the hell is Gainesville, Maine? You know, you go through that thing. You know, what's your mom do? What's your dad do? You got brothers and sisters? And you learn about this kid, and you find out, you know, these amazing young men and women that we get to serve with, and they're just, they come from, it's America, and that's what makes us a great country, and you find out them, what made them tick, and it's funny, you know, because they're funny as hell, man.
No, I used to have this shtick that no matter, I'd meet you for the first time, and I'd say, you know, hey, Sergeant Musselman, hey, sir, I need to talk to you, and, right, you come rolling in the COC, hey, Musselman, where are you from? I'm from Columbus, Ohio, sir. Columbus, Ohio? That's a shithole. And you don't even know. They look at you like, what? No, it's not, sir. It's the home of the Ohio State Buckeyes. And then I'd ask, and it was a shtick, so everybody knew it was coming. Hey, Gunny, you been to Columbus, Ohio? Oh, yeah, sir, I've been there. Is it a shithole? Oh, it's a straight-up shithole. And then the kid would always, like, look at you and say, you're right, it's a shithole. And we'd laugh and go, no, it's not. We've never even been there, man. Why are you giving up on your hometown? What's wrong with you?
Traitor, you son of a bitch.
Traitor. But everybody's laughing, right? And they'd hear me say, hey, Sergeant, where are you from? And with that, like, all the heads would turn. And they would now we're going to do a little comedy here. And everybody'd laugh. Those moments that, and the camaraderie, you know, that you share and all that, it's hilarious. It's hilarious. But you know, I remember, you know, you go out to, march and you lay on the concrete forever, however long you take. Yeah, you're out there for 8 hours or something like that, right? And you go over, and they have peanut butter and jelly. So you walk over, like, I see Mike making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or something. I walk over, I'm like, is it good? And Mike looks at me and is like, this is the best peanut butter I've ever eaten in my life. Like, no, it's not. Mac, come here. Let me show you the peanut butter. Let me introduce you to Larry. Larry flew in World War II. What? Yep. Flew B-17s, 18 missions over, you know, and you meet this guy. And, hey, Larry, I'm Mike. Nice to meet you. Do you know him? Gunner? Yeah, I know him. And then and that's how your day goes. Then you see Mike talking to somebody else. You're like, I want to be part of that conversation. You walk up, hey, boys, what's going on? But you know what? It's easier than ever to stay connected. I mean, you almost have to deliberately try not to be connected, you know, on
different forms. And even then, they'll still track you down. Oh, maybe I did that.
Well, you know, Facebook recommended friend suggestions. Like, no, hell no. You know, so they're like suggesting that you get connected based on 7 mutual connections. How about him on LinkedIn? How about not? It's almost like you have to try to stay disconnected to not. And there's great solace, I think, in staying connected with your friends. Because Mike knows if we haven't heard from somebody in a few days, if they go River City on us, they get a phone call. Hey, what's going on? Where are you? Sorry, Dad, I'm shoeing horses up in Idaho. All right, all you got to do is say hey every once in a while. All right, we love you. Goodbye. Go back under that horse or mule or whatever it is. But I mean, that's good. That's how it should be. But it's interesting that the dislocation piece is more significant than than the combat piece in terms of life's turbulence. Interesting. Interesting. Younger's pretty interesting book. Have you ever read the book? It's called Tribes.
No, but I know. I've heard of it.
Yeah, no,
I know what it's about. I mean,
it's a pretty good read. In fact, you know, one thing he said was that he interviewed people in Sarajevo and also people in London, like during the Blitz in World War II in London, and then when Sarajevo was just getting annihilated. And both groups both said the same thing. It was one of the best parts of my life, though. The courage and selflessness that was part of our daily lives, that sense of belonging to something and doing something, was, I've never felt that in the rest of my life. And I wish I could feel it again. So pretty interesting in terms of when you feel needed, when you feel belong, when you feel like you belong to something. Pretty interesting stuff. So anyway, I would recommend it. I would recommend it. All right, anything, what do you got, since we're in the moment, what do you have going on in the upcoming moments of your life today?
The upcoming moments of my life today?
Yes, what do you have in the upcoming moments of your life today?
Funny story. I thought I had a doctor's appointment today. See, there goes my freaking memory. It's on my calendar too, and I couldn't even read that right. I mean, I was having a difficult. I don't know. Today I woke up really kind of weird, man. Everything was weird, but anyway,
Are you at the end of your Botox cycle?
No, my Botox cycle is like November, I think.
Oh, all right.
So I get up. And I take a shower, I go to the hospital, and I'm sitting outside the door, and I get to the door, and it says, Monday, they're in Weatherford. And I'm like, wow. Weatherford's, you know, about 30 minutes away from here. And I'm like, Weatherford? Oh, son of a bitch. So I call them. I said, hey, I guess I'm going to have to cancel postpone the, can I rearrange the event, you know, the appointment? And she's like, yeah, sure, why? And I said, well, I'm here in Granbury. And I'm looking at your door, and it says you guys are in Weatherford today. She goes, oh, okay. And so she goes, Mike, your appointment's not until tomorrow at 9. We'll be back in Granbury. I said, oh. Well, then let's keep that and don't touch that then. Stay right there, and we'll be fine. And, you know, but then I get on my phone, and I'm like, maybe my phone was all screwed up today this weekend. I look at it, it says Tuesday the 25th, and I'm like, okay. But this morning I got up, and I convinced myself that I had to go to the doctor's today. It's like, oh, man, I'm going to be late for the doctor. You know?
And sometimes, though, you just get that stuff in your head.
I just can't shake it. Like, today is the day I got to go to the doctor. So then I went to the grocery store because I had a list of just some stuff to get from fish tacos tonight. And then, so I went to the grocery store, and then I stopped and got a cup of coffee at the grocery store, because they have one of those coffee places inside the grocery store. And then the grocery store was kind of weird today, because I was like in a fog. It was foggy in my brain today. But now I'm feeling better. I got home, knocked out the lawn, did the edging, did the trimming, put the fertilizer down, got the blower out, blew all the grass in the street, which Tina doesn't like because she thinks it's littering.
Henrietta?
Yeah, Henrietta. Henrietta thinks it's littering. I said,
no,
what?
It's getting it off your property, and then it'll blow down the street into a field. Hello?
Well, or the rain will get it, and it'll go down the gutter, and it'll become fish food one day.
Yeah, it's part of the circle of life.
Well, that's what I try to tell her. But she's like, so one day, she's like, sweep that up. And I said, oh, okay. So I went back. Got the blower again, turned it on, and blew it everywhere in the street. I said, looks like the wind came, you know. And she's like, you just litter. You know, and again, it's like, this is not littering. Okay? This is dead grass. This is where it belongs.
I could show you littering if you want me to, though.
Yeah, you know, you know what? Now that you said littering, I just thought of something. So, yesterday, I'm driving to, it was Sunday, we went to brunch, Christina's. And since they were booked. Tina went over, or Henrietta went over there earlier to get a table because they were booked. And so she shows up. So I come up. I'm right behind her, maybe 15, 20 minutes, and I'm driving. A guy in the car in front of me, he's got his window down. And I can tell he's smoking because I can smell smoke. So he's got the window down, and he's smoking. I can see the smoke coming out. All of a sudden, he flicks the butt in the street. And, dude, that pisses me off. Right?
Why? So you're blowing grass in the street. Why can't he flick his cig in the street?
Because that's littering.
You're right. I was just testing you. Good answer.
Yeah, that pisses me off.
Good
so
answer.
So I roll the window down as I get in closer because his window's still down. And I wasn't going to be like, hey, son of a bitch. But I wondered if he was going to make contact with me.
Right.
I was going to say something. Be a smart ass. So he's looking straight ahead. So nothing. So I'm like, I can't really see who it is. And then the car didn't really dawn on me. So we're driving some more, and we stop at the light again going towards Christina's. And I notice that it's one of my neighbors. And I know.
Oh, well, now you can take it up with him then. Yes?
Well, so I did.
Ooh.
So he got out. I got out. We were walking, and I said, hey. And I won't use his name. I said, hey, man. I said, could you imagine if everybody, let's say a million people smoked in the state of Texas, and everybody threw their butts, one butt out their car window every day, 352 million cigarette butts at the end of the day, at the end of the year, let's say, you know. And I go, you know what that would probably look like? And he looked at me and he smiled and he goes, all right, I'm sorry. And I said, oh, okay, because he got it right away. He's a good guy. And he's like, yeah, my bad. I mean, there's no excuse. Like, I'm going to say it got lazy. Wasn't no excuse.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he was a good sport about it. You know?
I don't like that, though. I'm with you. I don't litter. Hey, how about this, though? If you can't figure out smoking, come on, man. Really?
The etiquette when it comes to smoking?
No, smoking, period.
Oh.
Come on, that's an easy one. And you know, then big story last week from the National Institute of Health, e-cigarettes are exploding among teens across the country.
Yeah, and they're super healthy for you.
Yeah. There's our generation that's so in touch with life and
all the nature, the hippie community. Right, yeah, they're
right,
so
right. So healthy and exploding. Yeah. All right. I'm out.
They're vaping now.
I'm out.
I hate that word.
I'm out. I got to go.
Oh, where do you got to go?
We're having a team building event here tonight. Volleyball team's coming over, so I got some stuff I have to get done.
Team building?
Yes.
Well, good luck with that.
I know. Team building occurs on the court when you play together. That's when you build right. teams. If you want to just go eat at somebody's house, let's call it that. We want free food from one of the parents, so we'll do that.
Do the Al Capone from the movie, Robert Burrow. No, what's his name? The movie star.
Probably not.
No, De Niro, right?
De Niro played, yeah, Capone.
Do that speech with the baseball bat with the girls sitting around. Go.
Probably
you
not.
Know, a team works like baseball.
Probably
do that.
Not.
With the baseball bat, smack in your hand. See if anybody gets it.
No.
Come on.
No, I'm not doing it.
Put on a tux and
not
do it.
Not doing it. Say goodbye.
Reach your hair back. Come on, man. I would.
Say goodbye and tell your friend I'm trying to call him. I know he's doing stuff, but.
Yeah, I know. So
just let him know.
I told you to call him this weekend.
I couldn't.
I know. You were busy.
It was other stuff. It was other stuff.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that.
All right.
See
you. Talk to you.
There you have it. Michael Musselman. That will do it. This one's entitled Holy Crap. Hey, Mac, good discussion. Who would have thought the word normal would have graduated into this? Here's another interesting email. Mac, if you were the president, how would you handle the Rosenstein thing? I think I'd summon him to the White House, and I'd ask him, explain this to me. And I'd be sitting there with a tablet and a paper and pen. And I'd take notes. And if I wasn't satisfied with his answer, I'd tell him, you need to resign. That's unacceptable. What you did was unacceptable. And people are saying, well, it'll impact the Russian investigation. They'll get somebody in that can make decisions relative to the Russia investigation. He can turn that over. Okay? But because you're involved in the Russia investigation doesn't mean you can say the things that were attributed to him. And if he can't explain them, like I said, I'd give him the benefit of the doubt. But if he comes in and he can't explain it to me, and I have this, I have what I believe are the sources and what got said to the New York Times, then he's got to resign. Anyway, have a good day. Sebastian Younger coming up. Don't miss that. It's really interesting. Dislocation. He also says something that we know to be true. The majority of suicide that happens in the military is not directly related to combat. It's directly related to that person being fractured early in life. Interesting. Have a great day on a Monday. All Marine Radio, over and...